Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere, Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today, as today is part two of a two-part interview that we've had with a good friend of our ministry, Tom Donnan. Now, every time Tom comes on, we talk about current events happening all around the world as it pertains to Bible prophecy mainly, and the soon return of Jesus, definitely. Amen. Now, if you missed any of yesterday's episode, you need to go back and catch up, because Tom has been sharing with us about increased intensity and events and climate changes and earthquakes and different things, that the fires out in California, all these things are happening right now, and they've been prophesied about in the Bible. And folks, I just don't have time to go back and cover everything we talked about yesterday. So you'll need to go back and listen to the prior episode in order to catch up. But right now, we're going to jump back into this interview now with Tom Donnan, because we are going to be talking about some things that you're seeing right now on the news and how it relates to Bible prophecy. Here's Tom Donnan. Right now, there's a massive drought taking place out west. I mean, those western states are already being devastated by the drought and the heat, and that's also leading to increase in wildfires and all that. And have you seen anything about that?
Well, that becomes personal now, because I was out there. You know, there's a difference between talking about something that is taking place somewhere else and secondhand knowledge, but when it becomes firsthand knowledge, that means that I have experienced it and it affect me in a positive or negative way, right? So with the drought out there and the heat in different areas, I had this trip that I had taken was kind of like a bucket list item. You know, let's get some of these things accomplished, right? So I'm like driving all over the place with the intent. I got to get to this spot. I got to get to that spot, you know? So the first thing is I did a marathon out to the Grand Canyon, and as I'm getting to like Oklahoma, I'm noticing it's getting drier, you know, and of course, New Mexico is kind of a dry state anyway. No. And then I get into Arizona, and it's, of course, it's arid out there. But at the Grand Canyon, it was 93 degrees at 7,000 feet on the rim of the canyon. And down halfway to the river is a place called Indian Gardens. And it was, if it's 93 at the edge, it's 105 down there. And down at Phantom Ranch, which is river level, it would be 115.
Wow.
Okay. So I had gone there. I had been training for more than 4 months to do a 13-mile trek, which means for anybody who hasn't done this, when you hike the Grand Canyon, it is the opposite of mountaineering. Mountaineering, you expend your energy going up and then use very little energy on the way down. But in canyoneering, you are expending little energy to go down, but you need that energy for the end. And at the last mile and a half is brutal. Because it's not just it's more than a 10, it's like a 15% grade and sometimes higher, right? And so you need to expend a lot of energy. So I actually had my friend Pastor Phil, who had contacted me and goes, Tom, this isn't a good idea for you to be trying this, right? So I decided that I was going to give myself a little test walk. So I went down about 2.5 blocks, which was about 150, 200 feet in elevation change. From Indian Gardens up is a 3,000 feet elevation change, right? And so I had gotten down to that point. It was in the afternoon, and I had did all kinds of training in different atmospheres, but I couldn't reproduce the 7,000 feet in elevation. Plus the fact that it was hot, I thought I was going to die. It was only 2.5 blocks. My heart is pounding because I don't have the oxygen that I needed to be able to do this. Now, mind you, I had there is this bridge down in Florida. It's a half a mile long, and it rises 75 feet in height. And to do one lap is a mile. I had a 10-pound backpack on, and I did it 6 times, right? So I knew that I had the endurance, the breath, and all that. But the heat and the elevation knocked it right out, and I was devastated. So what was the importance? There was a woman that had been, there was a lot of people that still were, and they were younger than me, believe it or not, right? No.
Yeah. A lot that's younger not hard than me. To do. Yeah, that's not hard to do.
Oh. I am on Sunday morning. I am by the rim. I want to get a picture. I asked a young park ranger if she would take a picture, and she's just about to take the camera, and she hears something, and she goes, "Wait!" And she goes, "There's a helicopter coming." She said, "We have protected airspace here. There must be an emergency if they're coming." And so she looks around and she sees the helicopter. And the amazing part is that 100 feet suspended underneath the helicopter is a paramedic. This is how they fly in the paramedic, suspended underneath the helicopter because they don't know where the terrain is. You know, they need to drop them off and get down there. So I found out by the news what had happened. A 53-year-old woman was going to do a rim-to-rim hike from the north rim to the south rim. She got down to Phantom Ranch in the heat, had heat-related problems, and died. She died down there. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, Tom, it wasn't for the fact that you were old and, you know, overweight and out of shape. No, this was serious. And so a lot of people had to cut back. And so I was grateful for the warnings. And that just started it. But now here's the good part is that every place I went, it seemed to rain. So I'm, you know, I have a whole new picture of rain. Right. It is such a blessing from what I've seen out there. It is such a blessing to have rain. And so I'm at the Grand Canyon. It rained twice, you know, clouds. Praise God for clouds, you know, because it's not that intense heat when you're underneath a cloud. So praise that, you know, and I went down to Phoenix to visit a niece down there, a niece and nephew. And when I was down there, it like really rained. Now, have you been to Phoenix? No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You? There. Yeah. You can plan an outing 6 months ahead knowing it's going to be good weather, right? So that's the way it is. So I've been there like more than 20 times, and they have it literally get moisture to the ground and like a deluge was amazing. Plus the fact it was only 98 degrees and it's June, right? That's an amazing thing right there. Yeah. So it was impacting me to have this, and the drought that you were talking about is severe. Okay, so I was in Page, Arizona, and, you know, Lake Powell is there, right? I had to go over to see it for myself, right? They got boat ramps there that aren't even in water anymore. Mm-hmm. No, at the time that I was there, the lake level was down 140 feet to 60%, of the water capacity. The water issue is severe around there, just severe, to where the lakes are just drying up all over the place. They're conserving water. Wells are running dry. The fires. Okay, so let's get into the fires. This is why we like rain, right? Mm-hmm. Because it waters the ground. Now, out there, they had 20 fires in Arizona going in one time. And in Flagstaff, I was there for 3 days. And for 3 days, I am in the smoke of the fire that's 30 miles away. Wow. And sometimes it was thick as a fog, no? And so my hotel room was on the fourth floor. I look out the window. I can see the smoke coming from the fire. It's like watching a rain cloud coming, but it's not rain. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know. And the odd part was that it was like being by a campfire, right, where it had that sweet smell from the burning of the wood. And it was kind of like a bazaar. And I thought, well, my sister lives in Prescott Valley. Are they going to evacuate her? But it wasn't in that direction. So that worked out. And like I said, it started an appreciation of rain and dew in the morning because it is significant out there. Yeah. They're in a world of hurt out there.
Yeah. Amen. And you know, that old adage, you don't miss the water till the well runs dry.
Yeah.
There's some towns out in California that have wells, not just individual farms and homes, but entire cities, and their water supplies have dried up. Did you see that?
Yes. Yeah. And that's like shocking, you know, because we take it for granted. So that was what the homeowner wasn't able to even turn the water on because there was no water to turn on.
Yeah.
They had to start bringing water out to put in the containers for them. And so as the water level continues to drop, now it's affecting them in a big way. And of course you got them turning off the water for hydroelectric power because they don't have the reserves. No. All right. So here's a side issue. All right. Does that surprise you? Okay. I'm in Durango. I want to ride the Durango Express. It's on my bucket list. So what happens is that I'm out there and it's 15 minutes of closing time and I'm in this shop and there's nobody there. So there's this little old lady behind the counter and I'm asking her about Durango. And she said, well, I was born and raised here. I'm a local. Well, now, you know, she's got the inside scoop. So the guy, when I checked in, it was from Indiana. And he said in wintertime, it's pretty deserted there, right? So I asked her about the wintertime. And she said, because we're on the western side of the Great Divide, right? Which means that the water runs into the Colorado from there, right? Which feeds all these other places. So she said that when she was a child, they have had as much as 15 feet of snow. Now that's significant, right? And then she says, last year we had 3 inches. Mm-hmm. You see, this is this depletion of water, you know? Yeah. Okay, so let's make it biblical. What does it say when there's no water? When there's no water, spiritually, there's a problem somewhere. And I'm thinking, they're watching this decline year after year, decade after decade, where these lakes are going down, 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 because they don't have enough water, you know? And God says that He will release the rains, you know? When people are seeking Him and turning to Him. And so we have this whole segment of society. I'm not saying it's a judgment. I'm saying it's a response, you know, of what's going on there. And it's getting severe to the point where they are calling for prayer. Now, that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, and they could have done that 20 years ago.
But and it's come back.
To go through it.
Yeah. This is what you and I have been talking about since we started this.
Yeah,
you know, it's becoming this is becoming personal to a lot of people through these things that are failing, because it's going to become, how would you say it? We don't want them to go through this, but if it means that under pressure, they finally turn to God, like in Psalms 107, okay, then it's a good thing. Because in Psalms 107, He says that He runs towards them and it solves their problem, right? Mm-hmm. And we're starting to see this, where it is affecting them so deeply, people are starting to look for spiritual answers.
Amen. Amen. And it's not just the wells running dry, but, you know, these fires are knocking down power lines, right? I mean, yeah. You know, the transmission lines that run through the wilderness that carries, you know, the electricity from the power stations out to the communities, they're burning down. The lines are coming down. This is, yeah. I mean, there's so many fires in so many places right now.
Yes.
They're just running out of not just people, but they're running out of water to fight it with, because the lake levels are down. You know, they can't bring in water from, you know, on the airplanes and all that, because they're running out of fuel.
Isn't that a shock?
That's crazy.
And it's not that the fuel's not there. It's just that it's what happens is that the ability to process the oil into fuel, to process the, you know, get it into trucks, to get it into the containers, to get it into the planes, you know, all of that has been affected deeply by what's going on with that plague.
The entire system. Yeah.
Yes. You know, and so it's devastating. You know, okay, so I have a cousin that I just saw down in Branson. My cousins were down there. We went out to dinner, and we had a nice time. And the subject of California came up. And I saw that documentary on, what was that? Paradise, California. All right. When that got burned up, what happened is that they lost that beautiful, beautiful town. Mm-hmm. It's devastated. It will never be that way again. You know, it's a loss that you can't get back. And we're seeing this happening all over the Western United States, to where I just saw an article about Salt Lake being down to the 58-year low level down in Salt Lake, which is in... So that is even there is being affected.
Salt Lake City and Salt Lake, Utah.
Yes.
That you can see from the map. That's low. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow. And then you got other areas of the country where floods.
You know? Yeah. I
mean, it's like, hey, send us a hose and run it 2,000 miles out west, you know? But golly, that, you know, and I was seeing one lake was so low that it exposed an old mining town that had been underwater for decades.
Yeah.
They built a dam. That's how low it is. And people are going down there, hey, let's go look at this town and see what we can find, you know?
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. You know, so, okay, so it is affecting lives. It's affecting industry. And it's affecting power. What is that dam that's in northern, southern Oregon that produces 13% of the power that goes to Northern California? And they are so low.
Is it the Hoover Dam?
No. That's outside of Las Vegas. Mm. And so the production of power is now in question from two different dams that supply stuff to California. And it's becoming serious in that direction. Mm. So you can't imagine, because we're so used to life, turning on a light switch, turning on an air conditioner.
Yeah. Amen.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, that's one of the problems is, you know, people just expect when you go to the sink and turn on the tap, water's coming out. When you flip the switch, light's going to turn on.
Yeah.
When things shut down, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, they don't, you know, most towns now will not let you have a well in your backyard. You know,
that's true.
Oh, you can't do that. You know, you got to be out in the country, you know, 25 miles from anywhere, then get a permit to have a well.
It's like really strange. You know, right. So this is becoming personal. We've been talking about this, right? We've been talking about it for the last more than 18 months, and now there's no getting around it now. It's going to affect us one way or another. It's coming for everybody in some kind of personal way. Right now, it's a kind of like a temporary thing, but who's to say, you know, we got this eviction moratorium that is coming to an end. We got, you know, millions of people that are now going to be in what kind of condition? How are they, you know? So we are seeing that. That's going to become extremely personal.
Yeah, exactly. They said that they put the COVID relief package through in order to stop the evictions and foreclosures and all that because of what they experienced in 2008 when, you know, everyone's buying those McMansions and flipping them every two, 3 years, doubling their money. And when the housing crisis hit, you know, now you got this, you know, $700,000 mortgage and your house is only worth $250,000, you know, that you're in trouble. So they didn't want that to happen. So they provided that relief, but now that relief is coming to an end. If you're not making your payments, you know, you're on your own basically. And some people still haven't got their jobs back, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, this is it, all the, what do we call it before? A convergence.
Convergence. Right? Yeah.
All these things are happening at one time. And that's exactly what the Bible said was going to happen just before Jesus.
Well, Well, I keep on asking the Lord, are we going to see a time of reprieve or are we going to continue to move in this direction until Revelation begins?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't have an answer.
Yeah. Well, what does the Bible say? It says that, you know, even when all these things are taking place, they're still going to curse God for allowing it to happen.
Ooh.
And, you know, you can see it. You know, these people that are so anti-God, anti-Christian, you know, anti-morals and all that stuff. I mean, they're just fired up, angry about everything. They refuse to repent. And that's exactly what the Bible says is going to happen in the last days.
Yeah, people will not repent. And it's that's where I'm hoping that there's going to be a divide. There's going to be those that dig in their heels and continue to live that life. And then there are those that are going to be affected and do repent. Now, what's the percentage? I don't know. But everybody that does repent, it makes their life better, their families better, their communities better. So with more God activity. I want to see revival with the supernatural, you know, where the presence of God is so thick that you know that he is in the room. This kind of down it, you know, it's productive, but when you have a low level kind of effect, it's productive. But no, I don't want that. I want over the top presence of God in churches.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And you know, just to relate back to some things we talked about before with the COVID shutdowns and all that, what's the first thing they wanted to shut down? Churches.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't want the Word of God talked about. You know, oh, well, it's for your own safety type thing. but yet they keep open the liquor stores and the Walmarts and all this stuff, you know. And that was so people can get their supplies and stuff they needed.
Yeah.
But yet they closed down the mine. You know, here you got 2,000 people standing in line at Walmart and Home Depot and all that. But yet they wouldn't let a mom and pop hardware store stay open. That, you know, so, okay, we'll limit it to 5 people at a time coming. Nope, you got to be closed. You
know? Okay, so.
And, you know, it's everything is totally backwards, but it's all accelerating. And that's the thing. It's accelerating. And it can't be stopped. Once you get that momentum going, you know, Newton's third law of motion, whatever object remains at rest will remain at rest unless moved upon by another force.
Yeah.
We're getting serious. We're getting down to the finish line. Yeah. If this is a football game, you'd be seeing that clock ticking down that final minute before all this stuff actually culminates.
I've been encouraged by some of the pushback that the citizens have been doing. And so you got down in Miami where the Cubans are saying, listen, we just left this. We don't want this happening here. And then you have a lady that moved from Europe to come to America so that she can have her own business that was arrested in Michigan for opening up her store because she had to keep it closed because she was a mom and pop. And she was arrested and given a sentence of 93 days in jail because she violated their territorial. I'm getting into bad territory here. Right. So, but is that going to continue to happen to where people are just going to say, listen, I'm not going to do this because it's too devastating. You guys are flying around all over the place and, you know, you're having your life, but my life is like falling apart. Yeah. Okay. I have a friend that son was employed by banks to clear outhouses that people walked away from. Because when they walked away leaving almost everything. Mm-hmm. No. And so they just walked away. So he would go in there and if there was something that was good or resellable that people were they were moving the stuff to different places so that it could be reused. That's how bad it was in 2008, 2009, you know, and it's going to happen very soon again. Yeah. So people's lives are turned upside down. That's definitely, see, we don't want that to happen. This comes back to this. We want people to get into the relationship and move closer to the Lord so that under his covering, he can then start to turn this stuff around. You don't have a job. It's amazing how bingo, God can bring you a job like overnight or start a business, you know,
give you an idea, you know,
a God exactly.
Idea. A God idea. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, Tom, we're about out of time. There's still so much I want to talk about. Can you book another time so we can come back on and continue our discussion of how there is this increased intensity occurring in these days and times in which we live?
Yeah.
You be able to do
that? I'd be glad to do that.
Amen. But if someone wanted to get in touch with you, maybe to ask a question, maybe do an interview like this, how can they do that? How can someone get in touch with you?
My email address is healingthenation1776@gmail.com. And I have a Facebook page called Healing the Nation Ministries. They can reach me through there as well.
Amen. I'll put all this down in the show notes below. Folks, there is no doubt we are living in what the Bible calls the last days. There is so much going on all over the planet, from COVID to climate, from political ploys that fly in the face of the Bible to complete and utter devastation in cities and countries around the world, here in the United States and in other nations as well. Couple that with what scientists are forecasting, as we discussed before, with near-miss asteroids that may not be near-miss to close flybys predicted for planet-sized comets. I mean, these are all signs of the times. And there is only one roadmap that guarantees survival, and his name is Jesus. It does not matter what anyone else has to say. Jesus has already guaranteed survival. Not of this planet, not of unbelievers, but only those who put their total trust and confidence in him. Tom, if someone's listening to us today, they'd like to put their total trust in Jesus, would you do the honor of leading them to the throne room with a word of prayer?
Be glad to. Thank you very much for this honor. Pray with me, and that is, dear Father God, I thank you for your son Jesus and the work he did on the cross. His suffering and the shedding of his blood paid the price for humanity's sins. I tell you, Jesus, I tell you, Father, that I am a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins. I am sorry for the pain that it has caused you. Now, I invite you to come into my heart, to come into my life, and I want to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Gloria. Folks, if you pray that prayer, reach out to Tom. Let him know you prayed that prayer. Reach out to me. Email me, brotherbob@ftfm.org. In fact, if you pray that prayer and you don't have your own Bible, you let me know. I will send you your own Bible absolutely free of charge, postage paid, in the continental United States. I can't send it around the world because that would get too expensive. But if too you're expensive. In the United States, I'll go ahead and send you your own personal Bible. Amen. Tom, thank you for that. Thank you for coming back on the program today. I'm looking forward to continuing our discussion as we haven't even touched on the latest about COVID or the money or inflation and credit issues, all about the plague this nation and the world. I can't wait to continue this conversation because these are things people need to hear about.
Yes.
Amen. And we need to give them hope. I mean, we're going to be talking about the negative aspects, but we always bring it back around to the positive aspect. Some people get mad at me when I say this, you know, when I see the stuff on the news and people wonder, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I laugh. And I say, why would you laugh when all this devastation is going on? Because that's what God's doing. Bible says he laughs at people who are trying to do all this on their own when all that's required is to turn it over to him. Just turn your heart over to him and suddenly provision is made. And grace is extended, you know, and all these things, all your needs are taken care of according to his grace and riches in glory by and through Christ Jesus. Every need is met. You know, it may not be what you think the need is. Oh, I need $1 million just to pay my mortgage bill. Well, you may have to move. You may move your house. You may be moving into an apartment and that'll be taken care of. But the need will be met. Jesus guarantees it, as they say in Louisiana. They guarantee it. Amen. Amen. Tom, thank you again for coming back on the program today. I'm looking forward to our next conversation.
Thank you, Pastor Bob. It's always a joy being with you.
Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Tom Dodd and myself, as Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.